This is News Talks on the Record. Sean Defoe in for Gavin Riley today. Now, in 1969 and into 1970, a battle raged just beside St. Stephen's Green in Dublin as architectural students, of all people, fought to save a slice of Georgian Dublin on Hume Street. It's fitting to examine the Hume Street story today, this weekend in particular, as one of those young student activists was a certain Marion Finucane. And in a time remembered for the destruction of Dublin, it was a remarkable act of civic pride and activism, but did the students win out in the end? Well, Donal Fallon is here with another edition of Hidden History. Donal, good to have you, and Happy New Year.
Good to be here.
Let's listen back now to a 19-year-old Marion Finucane. This recorded back in 1970.
Why are you spending Christmas week cleaning doorposts in Stephen's Green?
Because I feel it's part of my responsibility to ensure that this building isn't demolished as it was started last weekend.
Your responsibility as what?
My responsibility, first of all, as a student being paid help along by the taxpayer.
An architectural student?
And an architectural student. I'm involved in the business anyway, so... And as well as that, I feel as a Dubliner, I have a responsibility to the rest of people in Dublin.
I see.
Thank you.
That's remarkable to hear the voice so young as well. That clip of Marion Finucane outside of Hume Street, I suppose in her own way, Donal, her first introduction to broadcasting.
It was. It's a brilliant piece of footage on the RTÉ Archives website. Patrick Gallagher has this kind of broadcasting voice that no longer exists. You know, you don't hear that anymore. And he's interviewing this 19-year-old Marion Finucane. It's a bit of archival genius, and it captures a real moment in time and a battle which I think was part of something much broader in the Ireland of the 1960s. And the great debate that was going on was, you know, in one corner, conservation and preservation. And in the other corner, you know, what some people perceived as kind of modernity and progression. You know, this battle was going on. And the destruction of Dublin. Powerful words mentioned in the introduction. That's the title of a book by the journalist Frank MacDonald. It's a brilliant study of kind of planning and development in the Dublin of that time. And look, I mean, corruption, neglect, negligence, all of these are words that can come to mind when you look at the broad picture of how our capital was changing in that time. But there's also this extraordinary wave of activism, you know, something that first emerges in the mid-50s but is really coming to the fore in the 60s and the 70s to save the kind of built heritage of the city. And some remarkable names are entangled within that story, from a young Marion Finucane, who we just heard there, to, you know, activists and architects like Unchin McGowan and others. So it was a very, very exciting time in Dublin. It was an exciting time to be a young architectural student, as Marion was then.
And I suppose there's a strange kind of argument going on at the same time now as well, where we see hotels popping up everywhere instead of pubs and other cultural sites. But our attitude towards Georgian Dublin has changed quite significantly.
Very much so. I think we were a bit uncomfortable with Georgian Dublin for a long time because people felt it was part of a kind of alien heritage. In other words, you know, we hadn't built it. The British had built it. It didn't belong to us and it didn't say anything to us. But I think that kind of argument has now been well and truly dismantled, brick by brick, so to speak. And today we kind of see Georgian Dublin as part of the fabric of the city. So we have a brilliant museum, 14 Henrietta Street, that brings you on that journey, you know, right from a Georgian townhouse all the way through to a Victorian tenement. And I think what you learn when you go into somewhere like that is you can't look at one part of a city in isolation. The whole thing is connected. And Georgian Dublin is a brick in the story of Dublin. And I know there'll be listeners in other parts of Ireland. Limerick comes to mind for me instantly, who will remind you that, you know, Georgian heritage isn't exclusively a Dublin thing.
Mm. And even before this Hume Street, there was another scandal even nearer to Kildare Street, which grabbed public attention as well.
Amazingly, 1957, there's this great debate that opens up on the demolition of two Georgian houses in Kildare Place. And Kildare Place is basically right beside Kildare Street and thus right beside Dáil Éireann. And the idea that kind of architectural heritage, two beautiful Georgian houses right beside the Parliament building, could be discarded in the manner they were, was enough to spark very, very real debate. And in one way, it was the catalyst for the birth of the Irish Georgian Society. And I think it was very, very obvious that this was going to be a long-running debate, not just about architecture, but ideology. One government minister came out when they knocked down the Georgian houses and said, direct quote, "I was actually glad to see them go. They stood for everything I hate." I mean, imagine saying that about two historic buildings. Mm. Absolutely incredible. So in the eyes of some, you know, going back to this important point, these were part of a kind of British heritage, a relic of a kind of colonial past. And while they lost on Kildare Place, you know, the architectural students and the preservationists and everything else, and there would be big, big defeats to come, you know, Merrion Square, Wood Quay, they lost there as well. Mm. Something was changing and there was an increasing belief that these buildings had to be fought for.
And I suppose our own attitude towards our colonial past has probably evolved since then. But this then presumably was brewing. It came to a head in 1969, but brewing for quite a long time.
Hume Street been going on for a long time. Christmas 1969, these students move in, including Marion Finucane. And to be honest, I mean, there have been about 3 years of this building up. a company called the Green Property Company were acquiring buildings on Hume Street one by one, and no one really knew what they wanted to do with them. So there were all kinds of whispers going around Dublin about the future of Hume Street. But then in December 1969, the first demolition of the buildings begins, and concerned students move in almost immediately. And in the immediate weeks and months before this, there have been a couple of things that had really made people sit up and pay attention. So at Merrion Square, they knock down Georgian houses to build the premises for the electricity supply board, and feelings running very high. And actually, since then, they've knocked down the electricity supply board building, and they're going to replace it with fake Georgian houses. So, things go around in circles. But Sam Stevenson, the architect who built the ESB offices, he took a really dim view of what all of these young students were doing up on Hume Street. And he had a great line in the papers. He said, "Stop bleating on about all of Georgian Dublin being preserved for posterity. Posterity might not want it."
And it turns out posterity did want it quite a bit. So how did other people react? Because a lot of the time now there's protests, we say, there's young people, they don't know what they're on about. How did the media, other people react?
The press were all over it. And I think what appealed to the press was the youthful energy and the enthusiasm of the occupiers of Hume Street. And also, I mean, they were primarily architectural students. They were quite middle class, well-spoken young kids. You know, this was not your usual protest. But journalism was changing at the time. And you had the emergence of something we've heard a lot about this week since the death of Marion Fadoucan, which was like the women's pages, or the presence of female journalists writing about women's issues in the media. Mm. And I mean, that was really taken off. One of the early pioneers of that whole school of journalism was Mary Kenny. And she was really taken by these protesters, in particular a young Dublin woman by the name of Deirdre Kelly, who would remain an activist in Dublin for decades after. But the way Mary Kenny writes about her is brilliant. She says, "The architectural students occupying the houses at Hume Street operate in a rigidly democratic manner and proclaim not to have any specific leader. But a young woman, Deirdre McMahon, later Kelly, is clearly emerging as a spearheading force of the movement. She is lively, merry and extremely resourceful. She is full of purpose about the project of saving Dublin, but she is clever enough to avoid sounding a hot-headed extremist."
So always
there's
key.
A lot of interest in these young women. Fanucan is 19 years old at the time that this protest kicks off. Incredible.
Yeah, remarkable stuff. And there was some pretty peculiar moments that you probably wouldn't get today, including one involving Charlie High.
Yeah, it went on for months, this occupation. I mean, it began at Christmas and it wasn't until June that the students were eventually moved on. But at Christmas, a hamper arrives for the students from Charles J. Haughey, which is brilliant. I mean, Haughey is a PR mastermind. You know, he can play anyone, including these young student protesters. But, you know, others in the Hume Street campaign worth mentioning. Duncan Stewart, broadcaster and environmentalist from Eco Eye, he was a real driving force in the broader movement for the preservation of the city. So a lot of these young people, you know, they went on to have very interesting careers and several broadcasters in the mix.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine someone like Micheál Martin wandering over now with a Christmas hamper for protesters somehow or another. So eventually what happened? The authorities moved in. It got a bit hot and heavy.
It got very ugly. June 1970, private security basically arrived to remove the students occupying the building in the dead of night under the watchful eye of the Gardaí, but they leave the heavy lifting to a private security company. And I mean, the violence was quite serious. It was condemned in the papers as the strong arm methods of a private army employed by property speculators. And you end up with, Mary Robinson, who would play her own important role in women's history in Ireland, Noel Brown and others condemning this in a protest meeting on the street that night. But yeah, for young students like a 19-year-old Fanucan, it was a cauldron of fire, when it came in June 1970 and when they were eventually moved on and kicked out.
So you've already talked about how some of them started their careers there, including Marion Fanucan and others. It was ultimately a defeat for the students, but what was the impact of it?
It was a really curious kind of defeat. The Georgian facades of the building remained, but the interiors were totally destroyed. So you could walk down Hume Street and say, oh, it's exactly the same as it was, but it wasn't. The built landscape had been altered forever. But I think what was important about Hume Street was it really put to the side all this rubbish about who these people were. And the Minister for Local Government, Kevin Boland, he said that the Georgian society were, quote, a consortium of belted earls, ladies and left-wing intellectuals. But I think when you look at the response to a campaign like Hume Street, what you could see is there was a public desire across all layers of society to see, the built heritage of the city respected. And those involved in that battle, for the heart and soul of Dublin, as we said earlier, they go on to live incredible lives. It was an experience and a time that Marion Fanucan often spoke of. And I think some of the questions around Hume Street would come to the fore again and again in subsequent planning debates and debacles. And actually, at the moment, some of those questions are back on the agenda when it comes to Dublin and the kind of city that we want. But those students, Finucane and the others, they felt that the city was something worth fighting for. And that's to be commended.
Yeah, remarkable. And so many parallels, as you say, between then and now that we can see. But the reaction, I think, very different is today. OK, Donal Fallon, listen, thanks a minute. That's an absolutely fascinating one involving, of course, Marion Finucane, who we're all remembering this weekend. Donal Fallon, author of the Come Here To Me blog and the book Volume 2, and also host of the Three Castles Burning podcast.